is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Kyle Cavanaugh from Essential Coaching, and you're listening to the Hoopheads Podcast.
Hey, Hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off. Welcome to the 22nd edition of the Coach's Corner Roundtable on the Hoopheads Podcast. Each episode of the Coach's Corner Roundtable will feature our all-star lineup of guests answering a single basketball question. A new Coach's Corner Roundtable will drop around the 15th of each month. October's roundtable question is, what does accountability look like in your program? Our coaching lineup this month includes Eric Bueller from Chatfield High School, Joe Harris from Lake Chelan High School, Nick LaGalbo from Lane Tech High School, Nate Sanderson from Thrive on Challenge, Don Showalter from USA Basketball, John Schulman from the University of Alabama Huntsville, Joe's Decision from Unleashed Potential, Lee Swanson from Bunker Hill High School, and Todd Wolfson from St. Francis High School. Get registered for our Hoopheads Pod webinar series. If you're focused on improving your coaching and your team, we've got you covered. Visit hoopheadspod.com/webinars to claim your seat. Make sure you check out our Hoopheads Pod network of shows, including Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, plus our NBA team pods, Cavaliers Central, Grizz and Grind, Knuck If You Buck, 305 Culture, and Blazing the Path. Please enjoy this roundtable episode of the Hoopheads Podcast, and once you're finished listening, please give the show a 5-star rating and review. Make sure you're subscribed to the Hoopheads Pod so you never miss an episode. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. If you haven't already, please tell a coaching colleague or friend about the Hoopheads Podcast so they can listen and learn from some of the best minds in the game. Eric Bueller, Chatfield Senior High School, Littleton, Colorado.
Hello again, Hoopheads. This is Eric Bueller, head coach at Chatfield Senior High. Thanks for having me on again. This roundtable, we were asked, what does accountability look like in our program? I just kind of summarized it up as, are you doing what's best for the team? And that applies to our players, our coaches, our families, parents that are involved in our program. And we always ask the guys, whether it's something on the court in practice, in a game, talking about academics, grades, getting things done outside of the classroom, do you understand the chain reaction that could happen if one person does not adhere to our core values? We have a set grouping of core values that we want everyone to adhere to. And again, that's coaches and players and parents. And we talk about this a lot with our team, but we also talk about it with our parents And we just want everyone to be on the same page, and we want to show our best foot forward in everything we do, not just what we do on the basketball court. And along those same lines, my personal philosophy, I believe that when you have truly great teams or very successful teams, while they're playing and after they're playing, great teams hold each other accountable. And it's not just a coach, or it's not just the adults in the room. It's the peers holding each other accountable. That's when you take big strides forward and you see kids start to reach their full potential. Thanks for having me on again, and look forward to hearing from you guys again. Talk to you later.
Joe Harris, Lake Chelan High School, Lake Chelan, Washington.
Hello, Hoopheads. This is Joe Harris at Chelan High School with tonight's roundtable question. What does accountability look like in your program? Accountability starts with myself as the leader of our program and is a standard I expect in everything we do, from drills to practice to traveling together as a team. The first time I step in the gym, it should be evident. As a leader, I'm the first in and I'm the last out. You also have to be willing to hold every member of your team, regardless of their role, accountable in every drill you do all the time. We've set a standard for how we treat people both in and out of the gym, from school to practice to traveling and road trips. It's very clear with every member of our program that the little things matter. Little things such as expecting everyone to be on time are as important as anything. All of this helps create a standard of accountability with every member of our program for the way we treat and act with other people.
Nick Legalbo, Lane Tech High School, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Nick Legalbo from Lane Tech High School in Chicago. Today's roundtable discussion is about the concept of accountability and what does accountability look like in our program. So for us, what we've done is we've defined our school is Lane Tech High School in Chicago. So we've defined something called the Lane Way, and it's the way that we're going to live as a part of our program. So we define it as Lane Way is defined by doing things the right way every time, even when nobody's watching. It's founded on a pride in being a part of something bigger than oneself and in the belief that our athletics program is truly a family. We believe that the Lane Way goes beyond athletics, applies to all facets of life. It means being character-driven and living with integrity. It means upholding the highest of standards and being leaders in the school community and communities we represent outside of Lane. And finally, it's an understanding that we're building for eternity and that all of our players belong to our family and represent the School of Champions, not only during their time, but also in their post-secondary endeavors and beyond. And we make sure our players read that and understand that and know that there's an accountability that comes with wearing our jersey, and that we hold our coaches to the same standard, and that if we're not, we have conversations about that, and that there are repercussions when you're not following through with the Lane Way. So anyway, hope this helps. Thank you guys for all that you do, and have a good one.
Nate Sanderson, Thrive on Challenge.
Hey, Mike, this is Nate Sanderson from Thrive on Challenge. Your question this week, what does accountability look like in our program, is an interesting one. And JP Nurbert and I have actually been talking about this very subject on the Coaching Culture podcast here the last 3 weeks. So I'll give you just a couple of ideas that we've been discussing, and maybe it'll resonate a little bit with your audience. And if they want any more details, they can certainly hop on our podcast and listen to our discussion as well. So the first thing, Mike, I think that is so important when it comes to accountability is an agreed upon set of standards or behaviors that are acceptable for your team and unacceptable. In other words, you got to be able to take the values that you put on the back of your shirt. You know, for us, when I was at Springville High School, it was, we play hard, we love each other, we do what we do. Well, those are really nice sounding phrases, but the players have to have an understanding of what does that look like in practice? What does it look like on the bench? What does it look like in the hallways? And so we would have discussions where we would ask them those very questions and ask them to identify the behaviors that are acceptable and things that would be unacceptable. If we're going to love each other, what's unacceptable when it comes to posting on social media or talking about our team, you know, with their friends that maybe are in the school hallways? And so once you've engaged your players in being able to have some say in the standards and make a commitment to, we will do these things, we will not do those things, I think that paves the way, makes it a little bit easier to hold them accountable, because you're not holding them accountable to what you want as a coach. You're holding them accountable to what they've agreed upon as individuals and as a team. Now, the second thing that I think is important when it comes to accountability is really being creative with your consequences. You know, too often when I was a younger coach, we would just sit kids out of games, or we would not allow them to start, or we would use playing time, you know, as the penalty if they missed a practice or they were late or they didn't communicate or whatever their infraction might have been. Playing time seemed to be the thing that we always went to for our consequence. And what I've learned over the course of my career is that there's a lot of different ways that you can discipline a player besides running them or just taking away playing time. One of the things that's been really effective for us and some of the coaches in our Thrive On Challenge community is just simply telling players that if they're not going to give great effort in a drill in practice, for example, they're not living up to the standard that they agreed upon, we give them a warning or we have a quick conversation or we challenge them a bit, maybe directly or individually. But then if they don't raise their level to what we expect, we simply sit them out of the drill. We simply tell them, you've lost the privilege to get better in this drill because you're not meeting our standard. You're not meeting the standard that we agreed upon. So you just got to sit down. So in a sense, we're using playing time, but we're using it in practice. And in the next drill or the next segment, they get a chance to come back in and rejoin the team. But it's a way to have sort of progressive lines in the sand with minor consequences before you go to the nuclear option of having to suspend a player or kick a player off of your team because of their behavior. Now, I also mentioned that being creative in your consequences can be really valuable. And that kind of brings me to my third point here, which is when we discipline players, we recognize that it isn't just an infraction against our standard that hasn't been met, but oftentimes it's a rupture in a relationship on the team. You know, their teammates may not trust them as much if they're late for practice or if they forget their jersey or if their, you know, attitude is bad in a practice. There may be a rupture of trust with the coaching staff. And so when we discipline or we hold a player accountable, it isn't just trying to consequence them into doing something differently next time, but we also want to acknowledge that they also have to rebuild those relationships and rebuild that trust. And so we've really been trying to find different ways to have players serve their teammates as part of their quote-unquote penalty. So what would be some examples of some creative consequences? Well, let's say your player is struggling to practice and meet the standards and expectations in your practice. Maybe you assign them to read John Gordon's book, The Hard Hat, about being a better teammate, and they have to give a presentation to the team maybe a week later, or maybe they have to read one segment and just share what they learned, you know, with their team at the end of practice. We might have a player that's being selfish and require them to do something that is selfless. So maybe at the next team dinner, their job is to make sure that everybody's glasses are full of water. They're the drink guy. And so anytime somebody wants something else to drink, that's the person that has to go and get it for them. There's lots of ways that they can serve in practice. You know, maybe they've got to put the chairs up before a game. Maybe they have to put things away at the end of the night. We've had players who have posted certain things on social media that maybe weren't flattering to their teammates and had them write appreciation notes for every one of their teammates, sort of forcing them into this place of, can you find a value in your teammates to acknowledge that in them, to help them be able to see that every teammate brings something to the team that makes us better, but also in a way that helps to repair some of the trust that may have been damaged by the comments that were originally made. But I would say without question, the best thing that we have done over the course of my career is empowering players to choose and have influence over the standards. And when those are not being met, either individually or as a team, we call them back to who they said they wanted to be. And our goal using language like that and a process like that is that it isn't necessarily just the players against the coaches and what the coaches expect. It's the players against the standards that they have helped establish for the program.
Don Showalter, USA Basketball.
Hi, Don Showalter with USA Basketball. Question for this week is, what does accountability look like in your program? I think accountability takes on many different looks, and it's not the same for every program. First of all, accountability is dependent upon your standards that you set as a coach for your program. Standards like trust and communication and no excuses, responsibility, those all go into the accountability part of your program. And second, I would say accountability looks different because it can go from between coaches to players, but also the best programs have great accountability from players to players. When players hold each other accountable, then you really have a special team.
John Shulman, University of Alabama, Huntsville, and the 720 Sports Group.
Yes, this is John Shulman, head basketball coach at University of Alabama in Huntsville, UAH. And the question is, what does accountability look like in your basketball program? I think accountability, reliability, responsibility, and all that good stuff needs to be on top, needs to be probably one of the most important things you talk about. Being accountable, whether you're showing up on time for class and showing up on time for meetings and showing up on time for a study session or for weights or for practice, is the same thing about being in the right position offensively and defensively. And if you can't do it off the floor, you're not going to do it on the floor. And so that is vital, being accountable, held to that standard. And as we actually went through practice yesterday, and we've got X's and different lines on the floor, you better be on an X. And if you're an inch away from the X, you're wrong. And if you're on the X, you're right. And if you're not, you're wrong. And you got to be accountable. You got to be responsible. You got to be reliable. And I try to explain it to our team as in, if you're playing a video game and you've got a controller, and let's say you're playing 2K. I don't know the rules and what you press on the controller. But let's say you're playing 2K and X. If you push X, you're supposed to shoot. And you keep on pressing X. And every time you press X, it passes or it jumps. Well, after a while, you get frustrated. And after a while, you need a new controller. And to me, it's the same thing with a player. I tell you to be there at, we practice at 2 and you show up at a quarter to 2 every game. I like that controller. I like that player. You start telling someone to show up at quarter to 2 and they show up at 2:15. After a while, you need a new controller and you need a new player. So being accountable and being reliable and being responsible to me is you cannot, I think it is, I know you better have talented kids, but if you don't have kids and you don't have players that are held to that standard, that will be where they're supposed to be when they say it and where they're supposed to be when you say it, and you want them on the tape defensively on the midline, they better be on the midline. And if they're not, you're gonna get beat. I don't care how talented that kid is. And yeah, you can make up ground for one or two mistakes, but if you keep on making them, you're going to lose. And as a 54-year-old telling you through experience, it doesn't matter. Talent's overrated. Being reliable, being responsible, being accountable for your actions, and not making excuses, I think it's vital. Hope this helps, and have a great preseason as we all get ready for this very unique COVID basketball year. Thanks.
Joe Stasician, Unleashed Potential, Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Joe Stasician, Unleashed Potential. This month's question is, what does accountability look like in your program? The first thing I like to talk about in terms of holding players accountable in my program is a good coach versus the nice coach. A good coach will hold players accountable and set standards for your program and tell them the truth and be honest with them. Not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. A nice coach allows players to do whatever they want to do without holding them accountable. I call this the price of nice. Players will do what you allow them to do. By that, I'm saying that they need to understand that there are certain standards that you hold for them in terms of their development to make them the best that they can be. The other thing that I like to say is, I call it the price of nice. You pay a high price for being a nice coach versus a good coach. Because at the end of the day, being nice isn't going to get it done for the player, or it's not going to get it done for the team. The other thing I like to talk about is learning how to work hard. The players that I train or I coach are told that the price of admission into the door is hard work. Their ticket into the door is understanding that the bottom rung of the ladder, the thing at the minimum that you're going to expect from them when they walk in the door is hard work. And it's not only hard work. Holding them accountable is also having them compete either against themselves, against others, against the time, against shots made. All those things are part of holding players accountable in my program. So it's a matter of combining hard work with competition. Because just working hard doesn't really hold them accountable in terms of their improvement. You need to have them compete also in practice. And the other thing that I would say is to hold players accountable in the program, they need to come every day and understand that, you know, their job is to be uncomfortable in what they're doing. If they're not uncomfortable, then you're not holding them accountable, because players will coast or they will do the bare minimum sometimes just to get through a drill. So another way that we talk about holding players accountable is telling them it's not getting through a drill, it's getting from a drill, and what you got from the training or the coaching or the practice for that day. You know, a lot of times we will talk about after coaching a player or training a player, we'll talk about, you know, how did you improve today? You know, did you get 1% better today? So we'll have those discussions at the end of the workout or the end of the practice and talk about, you know, our goals of improving and what we improved on and what we need to improve on. All of those things, in my opinion, are ways that we hold players accountable in my program. Thank you.
Lee Swanson, Bunker Hill High School, Claremont, North Carolina.
So what does accountability look like in our program? I think it starts with, trust is everything. That they have to trust our coaching staff, that we have their best interest and our team's best interest at heart. But I think accountability has got to be a two-way street. Players got to be able to hold coaches accountable to the things that they say they're accountable for, and we've got to be able to hold players accountable. I think accountability, when you know you're on the right track and your culture is going the right way, is when players hold each other accountable. When they can look at each other and say, hey, that's not our standard, or hey, we've got to pick it up here, or whatever the situation may be. I think that's when you have accountability. We kind of start ours with having some non-negotiables. Particularly this year, we'll have non-negotiables, whether it be body language or we're going to sprint the floor. And that's kind of the first thing, that those things are automatic accountability. And you want to see growth. You know, I think, you know, when you see players grow and change and become something that they weren't, because we're always becoming, then I think, you know, your accountability is pretty good in your program. If there's a lot of accountability, but there's no relationships, that's not going to work. So I think the first part of that would probably be building some relationships with your players. If not, I don't know how accountable you can hold them if they don't know you care about them and love them first. So hopefully your programs and our program will reflect our relationships, which will allow us to hold people more accountable.
Todd Wolfson, St. Francis High School, La Cunada, California.
How you doing? This is Todd Wolfson, head coach at St. Francis High School in La Cunada, California, which is right outside Pasadena. And answering the question, what does accountability look like in our program? And I think it has to be player-driven. That's the most important for us, is if the players don't drive accountability, there's no way your program is going to be accountable, because, you know, coaches are only there in practice and doing things for a certain amount of time. And once that, you know, locker room door closes and players are talking or group chats between players, et cetera, things like that, you know, players need to hold each other accountable. The coach can't always be the bad guy. The coach can't always be the disciplinarian. When someone shows up late, you know, your captains or a player needs to get on them as well as the coach, but the players need to be the ones that drive that. And if players aren't and your captains aren't, it's going to be a tough year, and it's going to be hard to hold people accountable. But I think the best teams I've coached have been ones where the players hold everyone accountable. And that's the most fun environment to coach in, and it makes the coach's job easier. He doesn't always have to be the bad cop. Once again, thank you. Hope everyone's doing well, and talk to you in a while. Bye.
Thanks for checking out this month's Hoopheads Podcast Roundtable. We'll be back next month with another question for our all-star lineup of coaches. If you have an existing podcast or are looking to launch your own pod but aren't sure where to start, the team at My Podcast Manager can help. Our podcast team works behind the scenes so you can do what you do best. We'll help you launch your podcast, make it sound great, and free up your time for the more enjoyable parts of podcasting. If you're ready to put your podcast editing, production, and promotion on autopilot with a trusted team of podcasting professionals, visit mypodcastmanager.com to get started.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.